It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Kind of lonesome here in the studio, just you and me, no guests today.
Wow.
Well, it's
a rare opportunity to sit at the feet of the master and absorb the great information here.
Oh, this is why we have guests, so we don't have to listen to the producer.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of guests, I might start off by telling you next week is Molly Mahoney, the Camera Confidence Coach. And her title for her talk is Build Your Audience and Boost Your Sales Using Facebook Live. And she says by 2018, over 80% of online content will be video. And you can either master the skills now and be the first to the party or wait and catch up after the party's in full swing, missing out on the connections to potential clients and champions of your business. Molly suggests that you develop the skill sets needed to use video effectively in your business now so you can build your audience, boost your sales. And she's going to share tips that will boost your confidence, fine-tune your speaking skills, and allow you to repurpose your live video content powerfully. So, hey, be sure to tune in next week and listen to Molly. She says, all the world really is a stage, and it's time to take your show on the road. Well, okay, we're on the road. Our talk today is how to work smarter, not harder. And I'm your host, Doug DeFeller. I'm a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation. And I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. If you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com. Okay, how to work smarter, not harder. Boy, wouldn't we all like to be able to do that. You know, in our last broadcast, we talked about capacity with author and coach Joan Freelander. That's a unashamed plug for you to go back and listen to last time's show. We looked at how often we ignore what our capacity is and how we consistently take on more work with deadlines that just can't be met. We even explored with Joan the idea of using a tool that would help us to find what our capacity was in various areas and how we were doing. Well, today I'd like to approach the issue from a different perspective, that of creating systems and routines that work automatically or with less effort when we're doing repetitive tasks. You know, another benefit of setting up systems is the reduction of errors. And just this afternoon, I was doing a lunch and learn with a client and their staff, and we were talking about quality control and quality assurance. And you know, a reason for setting up systems is that you would be following procedures that have already been established, which means the chance of leaving something out or making a mistake are far less. That's what quality assurance is. You know, the word that I hear more often than quality assurance is quality control, and there's a big difference between the two. It was kind of new to me until I got ready to do this other presentation. I wasn't really that familiar with quality assurance. Quality control is product-oriented, while quality assurance is process-oriented. Quality assurance makes sure you're doing things right or doing the right things the right way. It is a way of preventing mistakes or defects when delivering solutions or services to customers, which is different than quality control, which focuses on the detection of mistakes that have been made. So this is what we are going to kind of talk about today, quality assurance. Now, you can take this topic and you can make it as complicated as you want. You can look at TQM, Total Quality Management. You can look at ISO 9000. You can become a Six Sigma expert. All kinds of systems, all of them good, that are geared towards getting you to refocus on the processes that you use in your business, whether it be a service business or a manufacturing business, but to look at those processes, reevaluate them, and find the most cost efficient, the quickest, and the least error-prone ways to do this. You know, when we talk about creating systems or routines, the most common example that we frequently hear is that of driving a car. You know, I'm not talking about the new cars, which drive you. It's that time when you've been driving and you suddenly realize that you don't know how you got to where you are. It's as if you've been asleep for the last 10 minutes. Well, this happens when the task of driving the car over a frequently traveled route has become so routine that your brain handles the work without you even being aware of it. It wasn't that you were asleep, but you were on autopilot. What if you could do that with your work tasks? It would conserve energy, take less stress, produce more accurate results. You know, some of this could be done using technology, just like driving the car. Now they're coming up with cars that will basically drive themselves, follow the GPS to a destination, brake, slow down for surrounding traffic, all of those kinds of things. Or you could set up a routine just by doing some planning and setting up standards procedures. So let's take a look at some of the ways that you could do this simply yourself without investing in a lot of automated equipment or software. Before we get started, remember that when you do this, the first step is you want to use Pareto's principle. You remember Pareto, the Italian economist, who basically laid out the theorem that said that 80% of your results are produced by 20% of your efforts. And that pretty much has been proven over the years, time and time again, no matter what we are measuring. So when you look at creating systems, you want to look first at the tasks that are going to give you a high return for investing some time to set up those systems, meaning that you want to look at the 20% of the tasks that are either taking up 80% of your time or producing 80% of your revenue. Well, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when we talk about something that takes up your whole day? Well, let me ask the producer. Paul, what's the first thing that comes to your mind that eats up your day? Routine task.
Routine task. Let's see. Editing. We do lots of editing here. That's pretty routine for us. Let's see, other tasks.
Even more routine than
emails,
that.
I suppose.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Yeah. Emails. Everybody hates emails. Emails take up everybody's time, and everyone complains how much of their day is spent on reading and responding to emails. What if you could reduce that time and also increase the accuracy of reading and responding to those emails? You know, almost all of us already do this in some form of at least using a spam filter or a program that puts mail in a junk folder. But have you really looked into breaking down the incoming email even more? What if you had it automatically sorted by sender, letting you look at those from the most important people in your network first? You know, most email programs will allow you to set up all kinds of separate filters, look at the email coming in by either sender or topic, and then put it into a special email inbox that you've designated for those mails. That way you can look at the ones that are from people that you know, existing clients or prospects that you're working with, and kind of ignore those until later that are from people you have no way of knowing. You can use flags on many of the email programs. As you go through the emails, you can color code them, you know, red, green, whatever you want to do. Or you can just, the really old-fashioned way, as you look at your inbox, transfer them manually to other inboxes. You know, I tend to move email into a reading inbox that says, I can recognize right away this is an email. It's about a new conference, it's about a research report, something I want to read, so I'll throw it there. Or maybe the email is a bill or an invoice, and I throw it into another one. Or maybe I can see that this is somebody asking me to do something. I don't want to stop and do it now, so I put it into an inbox that's labeled need action. Or I might put it waiting for a reply. Whatever you want to do, the idea is to either manually or use the technology of the computer to sort those emails so that you can at least read them in terms of based on some priority. It may not eliminate a lot of time, but it certainly makes your time more effective in letting you get to the ones that are critical. Well, what about replying to that email? Can you automate that? You know, there's many advanced email programs that once you enter a person into the system, that it will automatically start to send out predetermined form responses at whatever intervals you've set up. So if you are, if you've sent out a proposal or a request for a contact to somebody, then you set up that person into the into this program, and your system says for the next 4 weeks, every Monday or every 5 days, send out form letter 1, 2, 3, or 4. You know, for myself, the simpler solution that I use is I create draft email responses for situations that come up frequently. That way, all I have to do is enter the person's email address in the draft, or even just hit reply and paste in the draft response. Sounds pretty uncaring? Well, not really, since I usually make a few edits to the draft so that it fits the situation. I use this system for new people I've met at a networking event, for example. I bring back their business card, enter their information in my contact file, set them up on my email newsletter list, and then send them one of the draft emails that says, I enjoyed meeting you, blah, blah, blah. I usually edit the draft to insert the event or place where I met them, maybe a sentence or two based on the meeting we had, such as I'm looking forward to reading your book, or good luck with the soccer game this week, or hope to see you at next month's meeting. What I'm doing is I'm taking email, which is a time-consuming task for all of us, and on the incoming email, I am prioritizing it so I get to the important ones first. And on the outgoing email, I realize that many of my responses are sort of standard form responses, and rather than putting those off, I can use draft email letters to quickly handle them. So if I look in my draft file, I have maybe a dozen draft memos already set up. A draft email might say, hey, looking forward to your guest appearance Thursday on the Coaching Perspective radio show. And all I have to do is fill in their name and the date, and bang, out it goes. You know, I was having a conversation today after the lunch and learn I did on, and one of the topics was on quality control and quality assurance. And we were talking about the value of checklists. And, you know, I think checklists are the oldest method of setting up a system, but it still works today for everything from the pre-flight checklist for a plane or a boat to the steps I follow after the radio show to enter the podcast. You know, after every radio show, I have to do the same thing. So every week, I take the thumb drive with the podcast, with the live broadcast on it. I put it into the computer. I open up the editing software. I edit it. I post it to my website. I post it to Facebook. I post it to LinkedIn. I post it to Twitter. I post it in my blog. I enter it into the newsletter. And then I mail a thank you, another draft response, to the guest of the day. In the editing process, I always refer to a little cheat sheet, a 3x5 card, that has the settings for my software program so that the sound quality is consistent from week to week. Now, you know, you could look at this and go, why do you need to have a checklist for all of that stuff? Well, if I don't have a checklist, it's not that I've gotten so feeble-minded that I'll forget to do these 7 or 8 things. It's the odds are I'm going to get interrupted in the middle. And when I come back, I won't remember whether did I post it to Twitter? Did I send it to Facebook? Where did I leave off here? So by having a checklist, this really saves a heck of a lot of time. You know, one of the things that I learned early on as a coach and as a speaker was to look for as many ways as possible to repurpose the material that I had generated. This is a tremendous time saver. Repurpose means that I take something that I spent maybe days, hours, weeks creating and find other ways to use the same material so that every time I do a presentation, I don't have to start from scratch and dream up something all over again. So for instance, today I did a lunch and learn presentation for a client on delegating. Saved me a lot of time because I was able to use a presentation that I prepared for another client 2 months ago where I did a workshop for them on delegating. And I also used the same information a month ago to do one of our radio shows. You know, while each time I had to make some changes to the presentation to fit the specific audience, I was able to use the majority of the material three times rather than just once. This is not even counting the times that I've used this material over the past years. Yes, I had to keep updating it, but hey, updating is a lot easier than starting from scratch. So you want to look at how often can you repurpose material. You know, we talked about draft emails. We talked about checklists. You know, you may only save minutes by using some of the forms that you've established. But think about this. If you save a couple of minutes on a task that you do 10 times every day, that is a savings of almost one workday a month. So a couple of minutes on a simple task that you do 10 times a day, or on 10 different tasks that you do every day. Imagine, how would you like to have a full extra work day in the month? You know, I use forms for everything. I have a form that I use for coaching notes with every single client. I have a form that I use every month to calculate my client billings, so I just fill in the blanks. I have a form for collecting action items for every meeting that I go to, so that when I go to a meeting, I just take along the form, which basically is a modification of the agenda of the meeting, and I've got the blocks to fill in what is the item, who asked me to do it. You know, we've been through this before, but basically I just fill in the blanks. I have a form for planning what meetings, phone calls, and projects that I have to work on this week. I have a form for meeting agendas. I have a form for tracking the steps and preparing a guest for the radio show. A form for keeping track of who the radio show guests are for future shows, and many more. You know, I couldn't believe it. When I was looking at this and starting to make this list, I had realized I've never tracked this before, but I was amazed at how many forms that I've created or checklists that save me a little bit of time every single day, every week, every month, all year long. Now, the time savings isn't even the biggest benefit of these systems. I'm not going to put down the fact that I'd love to have more time, but the real benefit is they keep me from forgetting to do something that's really important or from doing it incorrectly. You know, without the meeting action list that I can fill out during a meeting, I used to find myself sitting around 2 days after the meeting that I went to, trying to remember what I was supposed to do or what we agreed on at that meeting. And I got to tell you, 2 days later, after 2 days of other meetings, I don't remember what we agreed on. You know, I should have told you this at the beginning because I've saved the absolute best time-saving idea, the best idea I have ever heard, the best advice I've ever been given in my total working career to last. And I'm going to share it with you right now. It is a very simple system. It is a system that I have shared with every client that I've ever worked with, and it's called the Spiral Bound Notebook System. It was probably over 30 years ago that I attended a time management seminar where the speaker introduced me to this system. Here's the way he explained it. He said, get a spiral bound notebook. It has to be spiral bound with lined paper. And the reason it has to be spiral bound is because he says you never tear a page out. And you know, if you tear a page out of a spiral bound notebook, it's that messy, leaves all those little pieces of confetti all over. So he says, get a spiral bound notebook. Use a new notebook every month. Keep it with you all the time. Start a new page every day. Stop writing notes on anything else in your office. No scraps of paper, no phone slips. You only write in this notebook. So get rid of all the memo pads. Get rid of all the scratch pads. Get all that stuff off your desk, out of sight. And here's the system that you use in the notebook. On the right-hand side, you make notes of everything that you did during the day. So you might start out with, or I typically list the things I have to do today, 4 or 5 meetings. As I talk to people, I put their name, I write a few notes about what we agreed on. If there's some action that I have to take, I put a star or an asterisk over to the left-hand side in of the paper so that it jumps out at me. That's what I do on the right-hand side. On the left-hand side, the back of the previous day's page, is where you get to scribble. This is where you jot down a number that you don't think you're ever going to need. This is where you doodle. This is where you do the math for something that somebody asked you to do. This is the creative side of your notes. Now, I have to tell you right now that I have found over 30 years of using this that some of the most valuable notes I've ever gone back and found were scribbles that I did on the left-hand side of the page. Scribbles that were only meaningful to me in the context of what was going on that day. It might have been a little organization chart box. It might have been an arrow diagram of a flowchart of how to do something. It might have been the names of some people. It might have been a book to read. You know, if it looks important, it's on the right-hand side. If it's just scribbling, it goes on the left-hand side. Okay, now remember, you never tear a page out. If you need this information to go into some other file, then you copy it and put that copy in another file. And you use the same notebook for everything. You don't create separate notebooks for separate projects. I have to tell you that this system has saved me thousands of dollars. At one point, I had when I was in the building business, we had a legal case that took 2 months of, or 2 months, 2 years of discovery. We ended up spending a month in court with a rent-a-judge. My attorneys produced boxes and boxes of spiral-bound notebooks that the judge asked that we read to verify certain points. And the statement that the judge made was, I have never seen such detailed notes in my whole life. It's inconceivable that these things are anything but notes that were created at the time because they're just too detailed to have been created through the fiction of memory. That saved me hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, it absolutely convinced a legal proceedings, a judge, that, hey, you did everything right, everyone was notified, everybody knew everything that was going on. The claim that you didn't tell them is absolutely unfounded. We can see right there in your notes that you kept them informed every step of the way. I found phone numbers that were scribbled on the left-hand side of notes months after I thought I would ever need them. I have tape, pasted, and glued things in these notebooks so that all the relevant information was in one place. And the scribbles have jogged my memory and reminded me of other things. One of the things that I do every month is when I finish the month out, I go back and go through the notebook page by page. And what I do is anything that has an asterisk or a little star on it where I was supposed to do something, I look to see if I have done it. If I've done it, it may be checked off. If I forgot to check it off, I'll check it off now. If I didn't do it, that becomes the carry forward list in the first page of the next month's book. So, you know, it is simple, it is basic, but I have to tell you, it is a proven system. It costs almost nothing to do, and I can guarantee you that you are going to be able to put your fingers on information that you wish you had many times but couldn't find. So, get rid of the scratch pads, get rid of the little memo things, and get yourself a handful of spiral-bound notebooks. I keep these things forever. I have file cabinets full of them. You never know. And occasionally I go back and want to know, who was that radio show announcer, Paul something? What was his name? I've forgotten it, and I can go back and find it. Well, I just... short show today, but I want to tell you, share with you the same thing I told people at a lunch and learn today, that the most valuable information you get may not be the greatest quantity of information that someone passes on to you. It's all about the quality. We haven't talked about a lot of things here today, but the things we've talked about, if you implemented any one of the 5 or 6 items that we've talked about today, just one of them, I know that you will save time, you'll become more efficient, and you will get more done with less stress and end up having more energy. This notebook thing may be the most valuable time you've ever spent in your career. Things don't have to be complicated or hard or even technologically cool to save you lots of time and money. So I encourage you to take the ideas that we've been talking about here, put them to work for you right away. You know, delays are going to cost you money. I want to see you put these things to work. Well, that's what we shared for today. Work harder, work smarter, not harder. You know, we're not giving credit for the number of hours you're putting in. We're giving credit for how creative and how smart you were. Well, if you're listening to our podcast, I want to thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals while working smarter, not harder. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.